I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We got the governor on the line. Thumbs up. Yes, we got the governor on the line. There's lots to talk to him about. We got the rollback of the statewide mask mandate on Saturday. We had a couple of incidents where people seemed like they freaked out over it, caused some problems. One was at the UTA, on a UTA train. The other one was at a retail store in Salt Lake City. And also the news that we broke last week on the show, Dave, when we talked to the state's immunization coordinator, that our supply of Johnson & Johnson just isn't going to be that good this week.
And maybe this is an opportunity to change things up a little bit. Look what the UK is doing. They said, you know what, we're not going to worry about getting the first and the second doses into arms. We're just going to focus on first doses. So they took all those second doses, turned them into first doses. Is that a possibility? Is that the future? And is that a way to fix the downturn of Johnson & Johnson vaccines that we expect?
I also saw that we hit another milestone. Governor Spencer Cox, you there?
I'm here. It's great to be with you guys.
Oh, thanks for joining us. 1.7 million doses of the vaccine in arms?
That's correct. Yeah. Great news. This was our biggest week ever. We were close to 200,000 shots this week, which is just remarkable. We've had days over 45,000 shots in a day. It's a big deal for the state, and we're headed in a very, very positive direction.
Reports that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine supply is going to drop significantly. We've already seen that massive drop from the 40,000-something vaccines we got last week. Do we have any update on that?
Yeah, so we've been told. We knew this was going to happen. It happened because of a mistake, unfortunately. It was human error at a plant where they were producing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They were also, my understanding is, they were also producing another vaccine in the same plant. At least that was the plan, to do that with the AstraZeneca vaccine. And just a human error, a mistake was made, and so it ruined the batch. And that's unfortunate. It's going to cause us a couple weeks to flatten up, but we should be back towards the 8 million by the middle and end of April. So we'll still be okay, but just a delay, an unfortunate delay, and one we wish wouldn't happen. But we still have lots and lots of Pfizer and Moderna coming in, and so vaccinations will move forward.
Is that going to clog up the appointments in the near future for those who have not gotten their shot yet, Governor?
So we shouldn't clog things up too much. Those were appointments in most places that were not out yet, that were not scheduled yet. We did get a one-time increase of Pfizer as well. So nationwide, still over 18 million doses there that are coming in. So we should be in good shape. Again, not as good as we would have been, but still in pretty good shape moving forward. And most importantly, because of the way we've been able to roll this out, our most at-risk people have had the opportunity to get vaccinated. And those numbers are better than the U.S. average by quite a distance.
Any temptation to change things up a little bit? And I know this was a concept that intrigued you at some point, at least, but the UK decided to delay those second doses in favor of taking all those second doses and turning them into first doses. Any chance that Utah would consider doing something like that?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's a topic that did intrigue me. It's something I still think we should have done. But it would have made much more sense in December and January when we had much higher cases and when we had much less supply. That's when it would have made sense. I think the UK actually made the right call there. We definitely talked about it here in Utah. The reason we didn't is that this is more of a national discussion, one that that doesn't make a lot of sense to go it alone. And in fact, the CDC discouraged us from doing that. The reason I think it made sense back then is that we do know that there is significant immunity that comes from just the first dose, not as much as having both doses, obviously, but that would have allowed us to get it to more people, especially those that were more at risk. Now that we're much more ahead of that curve and we have so much more supply than we did then, it probably doesn't make sense to do it right now. We're just a matter of weeks from having enough supply for everyone that wants one, and getting those second doses in arms, especially for our most vulnerable, has been very good for our state. And as we continue to drive down those hospitalizations and the death rates, which is by far the most important piece of this, and getting those people fully vaccinated, their second doses is helping us out. So yeah, again, I still think it made sense in January and February, but where we are now in April and heading into May, I think we're in a good position.
Governor Cox joining us on the line, talking about all things COVID right now. And I want to talk about the mask mandate and the legislature's rollback of the statewide mandate happened on Saturday. And I'm getting texts from our listeners. In fact, Governor, saying their entire congregation still masked up on Sunday. It seemed like everywhere I went, there were still masks required in a lot of stores. UTA requires them, the airport, schools, as you know. To me, it seems as though the legislature's mask repeal really kind of fizzled, actually.
Well, I think that's a really good thing. As you know, we were pushing for May. We wanted to get more people vaccinated. The legislature wanted March, and we were able to get them to April. And that's been our message all along, is, hey, look, guys, we're so close. You know, let's not jump off out of the boat before we reach the shore. We can see it. We're almost there. Giving people an opportunity to get their vaccines. I finally got my first one. I've got my second one scheduled for later this week. Giving people that opportunity is going to save lives. And so, you know, the mask, wearing a mask is a really, really small. I don't like it. I don't know anybody that likes it. But it's a very, very, very small price to pay for keeping people safe. And that's what we've asked people to do, to be respectful. We understand there's people that have not been respectful, and that's a very, very serious problem. We had a couple. I'm sure you've reported. We had a couple instances over the weekend where people threatened workers. That's unacceptable. And by the way, it's still illegal to threaten people with their life, and we will hold those people accountable and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. And so, look, be respectful. Let's be kind with each other. We know this has been a hard go for everyone, we just encourage people to be safe, to respect the property rights of businesses and others who are still requiring masks, to still wear a mask yourself until you're fully vaccinated, and keep those around you safe. Let's just be better to each other.
Shifting gears, Governor Spencer Cox is joining us right now. I wanted to get this question in before we ended, but a terrifying and really quite miraculous occurrence this weekend when two deputies were shot, both in the face. They survived. What can be done with the criminal justice system to stop what seems to be bottomless second chances for criminals?
Well, look, people have constitutional rights, and that's important. We do our best to lock up people who are breaking the law, and they serve their time, and then we follow the laws as passed by the legislature. And these are the prices we pay to live in a free society. We could be more like North Korea and just lock everyone up forever, but that's not the way we do things. 98% of convicted criminals are going to end up back on the streets, and it's incredibly unfortunate that this event happened. It's terrifying and awful and ugly, and we hate everything about it. And so we're trying to use data to better understand what criminals do and how they react and how we can change them, right? What we want to do is to rehabilitate people so that when they do get out of jail, that they don't commit crimes anymore. And figuring out who's going to do that and who isn't is really, really hard. We're trying to get that balance right. This has been a problem since we became a country. It's been a problem since the Adam and Eve's kids. I mean, this is a problem that we have to deal with, is trying to prevent harm, locking up the bad people, and making sure that good people have the ability to exercise all of their constitutional rights. There is no easy answer, but our hearts are broken for those deputies and their families. And again, we will hold people accountable anytime they violate the law.
Governor Spencer Cox, thank you so much for calling in today.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.